This is Coast Community Radio. KMUN Astoria, 91.9. KTCB Tillamook, 89.5. And coastradio.org, wherever you are in the world. Are you back in Squamish or still in Nouvelle-Écosse? Seashell, East 66th Street, Wyoming. Tell me and I'll give you a shout out. Be sure to tune in next week on Arts. No, we haven't started the show. It's not over yet. But Jin Lowry will be on the show next week, along with Vicki Baker, who's showing at the Temple Gallery. Welcome, folks. I am delighted to be here with you. And it is, once again, a very busy arts time here in the Pacific Northwest, specifically Clatsop and Tillamook counties, and Pacific as well. And it's also a season to be meditative and thoughtful and joyful. So, right now, going on is a festival in Fire Mountain. It's called the Fire Mountain Music Festival in Cannon Beach, which will be moving to Manzanita. And tonight, you can hear at the chamber this band with a Freilach. Yeah, happening at the Chamber of Commerce. This is one of my all-time favorite bands, Three Lake Torso from Portland.
So good.
Yeah, aren't they fabulous?
Yeah.
And I think we'll be able to hear a little of Julia Michi, who is going to be playing tonight as well. But right now, I have one of my favorite people. You may have recognized that voice if you're a listener to KMUN or just anywhere in town doing anything. Marco Davis shows up, whether he is cooking, dancing, leading masses of people in whatever, not to mention massage and lots of other. And, of course, he's a programmer here on KMU, and how could he not be? Welcome, Marco.
Thank you, Carol.
I'm delighted to have you here.
I'm so excited to be here.
So you are here because this Sunday is the Sunday in the Park with Art.
So true.
I love the title. Sunday in the Park with Art and Marco.
Yeah.
So what? How many years have you been doing this?
This will be our fourth one.
Fourth one. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Okay. And when I was reading it, it looked to me as though this is a little bit different. It sounds like the way it was written up, a two-act kind of layout.
Yes, we're splitting it up. We did it like this last year as well, where instead of doing the big Quis Loop, which is like 3.5 miles when all the math is done. Mm-hmm. We're doing it along the Natool River from the North Natool parking lot to the visitor center where the picnic area is. So we'll be walking along the river.
Oh,
it's
nice.
Accessible to everybody. Mm-hmm. And it just makes it so nice. And the trail is so gorgeous right now. I just went out and walked it this morning.
So say again where people are going to start.
It'll start at the Natool Landing parking lot and go towards Fort Klatz at Visitor mm-hmm. Center. And then we have an interactive intermission where Janet Bowler
and Ron Craig
are going to be doing flute with Native American poems.
Nice.
It's going to be so beautiful. And then they're going to have an interactive thing for children or anybody. I'm going to make one to do little flower and seed things to take home.
So if someone either can't get there because it starts at noon, the walk.
Yes.
If people can't get there then, or for whatever reason they're not in the walking ability, they can just meet over at Fort Klatz Visitor Center at 1 o'clock. Is that one?
Yeah.
Or something like
that?
Yeah.
And then we have the intermission, and then Act Two is starting around 1:30, and then we walk back the way that we came. But the performers will have switched. So there'll be different people performing in each half.
I see.
Along the path.
And what kind of performances do you have this year?
There's a lot of music and dance. Mm-hmm. So, do you want me to disclose who's playing? Or should it be like one of those wonderful little surprises?
But you know, there are some people who don't know what we're talking about. So can you kind of lay it out? I know for me, the first time that I went, I missed last year, but I was there the first 2 years, and I just kept coming around corners or curves, and yeah. it was, and then you had to look sometimes on the ground. There would be all sorts of things happening, or then you look in the distance, and there are some dancers coming out of the woods.
Yes,
and then Luke and Katie were sitting somewhere under a great big tree
playing music.
So is that what we will be experiencing?
Yeah, Luke and Katie won't be there this year.
That's why we could give them away.
Yeah.
The rest has to be a surprise.
Oh, yeah. And that's what's so beautiful about it. It's about interacting with nature and being out and walking those gorgeous trails and then being treated to somebody playing music for you or dancing for you. Or
are there any installations?
There are installations as well. Yeah.
Okay.
It's
I remember
all happening.
Seeing Jessica Schleif's stuff
laid out there.
And it was just so gorgeous. And now it's over at the
AVA
Gallery.
So beautiful.
Which is stunning. But to see it in nature, surrounded by trees, and yet it was lifted and it was created by human hands. So what is all this about? Where did this concept come from?
Me? I just, for quite a long time, I had been walking the Quis-Quis Trail out there and just kept picturing things happening along the path. Mm. One night I was in the Voodoo Room and Carla and Kathy happened to be in there.
Okay, now
Carla Cole and Kathy Peterson, they work out at the Fort Klatz. Mm-hmm. And I said that I just had this kind of crazy idea for an art hike experience, and would the Fort Klatz National Historical Park be interested in partnering in this? And they said yes. And so I reached out to a bunch of different friends and artists in the area and kind of told them the plan, and we just made it happen. And each year it evolves and changes.
Different artists.
So, and that's the beautiful thing about it.
There was also a unicorn. That first year, I think it
was.
Yes,
Jen Rasmussen did that one.
Is she the one? I didn't even know who did it, but the children were all over that.
Oh, I know. She's doing a really great interactive one for kids this year.
Oh, lovely.
So, yes.
Lovely, lovely.
Yeah.
And the music and dance that is along the path will be staying in one particular area. Each.
Oh, the shift? Oh, we don't know.
Who knows
what's going to happen?
Okay, what do people have to wear for this now?
Whatever you're comfortable in. It is an adventure in nature, and it's one of those fun opportunities. We love to encourage people to dress up. Lots of kids come out in costumes, like fairy costumes, right, especially.
If it rains, it will still go
on. It will still go on.
Because after all, we live in the rain country. But what about footwear? Is it going to be slippery or muddy?
It's not bad. Okay. And it's a flat trail.
Okay.
And last year we had several people in wheelchairs out there
Really?
So it's an all-access path.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent.
And there was a little bit of water on the trail this morning, you know, but Sunday it's supposed to be beautiful. So.
Great.
I'm thinking,
so it starts at noon.
Yes.
And
so arrive early. Because you'll go to the visitor center to get your pass and then go to the far parking lot. But there'll be signs up everywhere.
Okay, so go to the visitor center first, and then they'll tell you where to go.
Exactly.
Okay, that was my worry, is like, where are we?
Yes.
Okay.
And then there's event parking signs, and people are going to be out there directing
so
everybody.
So probably 11:30 is a good time to
get
there, so you have time to. And what else do we need to know? It is so exciting and fun. I also remember Renya's.
Oh, I know. The mushroom, when she did it in the web. And
the web.
It showed how far the mycelium. Oh, sorry, Jessica. I'm screwing it up. But how the network of it reaches through the forest to show how that fungal life is connected.
Right.
It's so beautiful.
Right. Yeah, there was a lot of relevant stuff. So this is an all-age.
Yes.
All-ability. And again, it is happening this Sunday, Sunday in the Park with Art. Is there a website or something?
You can go to the Fort Clatsop National Historical Park website.
Okay,
and there's also a Sunday in the Park with Art Facebook page.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, if you're on Facebook, Sunday in the Park with Art. Otherwise, the Lewis and Clark National Historical Park at Fort Clatsop. And we'll see you there this Sunday. That's October 6th, sometime between 11th. Yeah, it's better to get there 11:30-ish or 11:45 so you can get your tickets. So there is a small charge?
There's the park fee.
Park fee. Okay. It's very, very nominal. And Well, and again, we'll have a chance to walk about a mile.
It's it's a mile one way. So
one
it's a
way,
2 mile round
and
trip.
Then take an intermission and in the picnic area between 1 and 1:30, Janet Bowler will be on flute, Ron Craig, excerpts and tunes from Songs of the Earth by Hal Eastburn. And that should be fabulous. And then we head on back the rest of the mile. Or if you're done, you're done.
Yeah, but you shouldn't be done because
there's more to see and it's all different. I love
it. And,
that's
always
great.
Like a nice big finish.
Yes. Thank you so much. This is Carol speaking with Marco Davis. Who else could come up with something like this? Wonderful. Sunday in the Park with Art out at the Lewis and Clark National Historical Park at the Fort Clatsop Visitor Center. Thanks, Marco.
Thank you.
And I have some music for you. And this is Julia Michi, which is Julie and Dean, and they are also playing tonight. This is part of the Cannon Beach Arts Association and Fly Me to the Moon Foundation put together this arts festival. And you can go to cannonbeacharts.org and you'll find it. You can do / music festival if you like. And tonight, 4 o'clock at the Cannon Beach Chamber. This week is Cannon Beach, and it goes all the way through the 13th of October. They're going to be heading down to Manzanita. Here's Julia Michi. Thanks for being here, folks. KMUN, KTCB.
In a Polaroid picture of my grandma and me, standing next to a yellow rose tree, planted on the day I was born, from a seed to a rose, from a rose to a song. A long winding journey out County Road 3, sat a
this song. This is actually a single, and then they put out the album. Julia Michi. Tonight, 6 o'clock, Julia Michi and Three Leg Tour, so you get a double whammy at the Cannon Beach Chamber. Well, my next guest is, again, someone not new to KMUN, or most of you live locally, because she also is involved in so many, wears so many hats. And one of the big ones, and I don't know when Karen Temple started writing it and publishing poems. I'm going to ask her that right off the bat. But I have in my hand a beautiful brand new book of poems. This is her 7th book. This one is, well, they're all different. I'm not going to say it's different. It is, of course, the name Life, Still and Again. And before we get to the book, first of all, a big congratulations for Life.
Thank you.
And for the book. And
both worth celebrating.
Yes, definitely. When did you start? You've got 7 books published, but it's been in what, the last 10 years?
It sort of snuck up on me, yeah. The way, you know, 70 years of age, all of a sudden. When did that happen?
Yeah.
I started in around 2000, I think.
That's what I was thinking. It's only been...
And my usual topics in the past have been either saints. War, my childhood right. angst, or pilgrimage mm-hmm. saints sort right. of thing. So this is very new.
Yes.
And a new experience, so... Yeah.
Although, one can extrapolate from war and from pilgrimage. Both of those words do serve.
Yeah, and those experiences helped me through this hard time last
okay.
winter and whatever else is bound to come eventually.
Which is all part of life, one way or another.
Yeah.
So let's tell people what we're talking about, where these poems came from that are different.
Yeah, it's a slender little book, 14 poems only, and they came to me after exactly a year ago. I found out that I had a malignant tumor. colorectal cancer stage 3. That wasn't immediately clear how bad it was, mm-hmm. and so on and so forth. And that put me in a sort of involuntary retreat for the whole winter and later, because I went to treatment. You know, the one thing that I left the house for every day was radiation. Mm. The chemo was by pill, so I could stay home to take those. And I withdrew from a lot of things because it's difficult to face people when you're sick, because they're more emotional about it than I am. And also, I was afraid of picking up mm-hmm. anything, because mm-hmm. mm-hmm. my immune system was way, way down. And this illness period that I am now fortunately in a respite of took me through some very significant seasons of the church year, and I'm very church-oriented. So it started with Advent, and then came Christmas, and then came Epiphany, and then came Lent. And that, I think, probably influenced my thinking, other than the vicinity of a possibility of death and mm-hmm. and a disease, and thinking mm-hmm. about people who have gone before me, one of the poems being dedicated to Carolyn Dunn, for mm-hmm. instance. I was thinking a lot of her. And when these 14 poems were more or less finished, it seemed to be a cycle at that point. I mean, you can keep on writing about it, but they really came to me. I couldn't avoid them. It wasn't my plan to sit down and write about it, but I had to. And I felt that other people could find some profit. I was given the gift of the poems, and I could give the gifts to the community of reading them. And then I approached the hospital asking for the possibility of a publication being funded by them. And they said yes, and the books are going to be, they're not going to be commercially available, not for sale. They're going mm-hmm. to be distributed mm-hmm. at the hospital. So that's the work.
And the reason Karen is here this day is that she will be presenting this book, Life Still and Again, tomorrow. That's the 5th of October at 4:30. And I am not exactly sure, is this right at the CMHOHSU Cancer
it's
Center
in the
here
cancer
in
center,
town?
Here in town, okay. Right, yeah.
So that is on Exchange.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's close to the hospital.
Yeah, it's a little west of the hospital.
Right.
It's the new
the
center.
New building.
It's only couple of years old.
Right, exactly. And of course, I was very happy that it was there, because doing treatments, commuting all the way to Longview or Portland, I couldn't have imagined doing
yeah.
that. So
yeah.
I could essentially walk to it most mm-hmm. days when I still was feeling strong enough. And my vision was that the poems could be paired with images, either mm-hmm. view or the artwork that is there at the cancer center, because I have strong faith in beauty, and I think the environment there is very beautiful. And so the book is also sort of an homage to all the art in there and the people who contributed that.
So, and the art was created mostly by local artists mm-hmm. who were invited when the building was being built to contribute, and it's all throughout the building, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah,
which is quite wonderful.
And there will be time when I do the reading, a little before and particularly after, for everybody to walk around, because there won't be treatments on a Saturday evening, and to look at what is not always readily visible.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Question. You mentioned the various significance in the church timing. How did that affect the poetry? Or did it give you, and or did it give you some strength to go through this experience?
It did very much, in a very strange way, it felt like a holy time because mm-hmm. I was going through all these meaningful church seasons while I was doing it. And as you can tell from reading, there's a lot of references, particularly to Psalms. Mm-hmm. I love Psalms, and mm-hmm. I read Psalms every day, and a little bit to Scripture. So that definitely flavored the whole experience. And thank God that I had it at hand to help mm-hmm. me through. Yeah.
Well, how about would you read something for us?
I definitely would
love
book, to.
By the way, folks, the book is beautiful. Right on the front cover is that
Front and back. Roland's mosaic that's on the outside of the building, and which is absolutely gorgeous.
And it's very nicely
the portrayed. Design is done by Lucian Sweatloff.
Oh, of
I
course.
Was so lucky
yes,
that
yes.
this is another book that we have done together.
Well,
so
he did a beautiful
job. Yeah.
So what will you read for us?
Well, I would like to start with a very short poem on page 19,
mm-hmm.
because the poem is about the labyrinth, and not by coincidence,
mm-hmm.
there is an outdoor labyrinth now between the cancer center and the hospital, and right at the time when I was starting to be a patient there, it was being finished and walkable, and I had been invited to present to the hospital about the meaning of a labyrinth, the healing qualities and what have you. And I took my labyrinth there
yes.
for an open walk.
Karen has a cloth labyrinth which rolls up. It's huge, but it
yeah.
takes several people to.
You have helped roll it.
Yeah,
to roll the tune
it
of.
Unroll it.
yeah,
yes.
Some songs.
And once a month, you bring that to Grace Episcopal
yeah.
and lay it on the floor from 3 to 6. It's that.
It's coming up this Sunday. It's always the first Sunday.
Sunday
and I've been doing this for 17 years now, believe it or not. Yes, I have.
Boy, time flies. I had not realized it was that long. And now there is also a labyrinth at St. Catherine's. In
yes.
Nehalem. And they also do it the same day.
On Sundays.
From 3
yeah.
to 5.
I went there too.
3 to 5. Yeah.
With the help of Reverend Anne Fontaine, and then somebody donated
that
labyrinth.
So who built the one that's here at the church?
I have no idea.
It's
an odd labyrinth. It doesn't follow any sort of given parameters
mm-hmm.
of ancient or new labyrinth.
Picture of it?
And
okay.
the picture that comes with the poem is a drone shot from the hospital has a drone. That's the only picture that was taken that
way. That's probably the only way you could do that.
Yeah, it's cute. It's very clever.
Yeah. And if you saw the picture, you might not realize what it was even.
Yeah.
But,
I definitely think of that labyrinth as a legacy of mine. So
nice. Good. Good.
So, the labyrinth. Finding the way, the winding way to the center. The destination, but not the end. Finding the way, the winding way from the center. The destination toward renewal.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to add my 2 cents. I had forgotten that it ended with the word renewal. But right now is the time in the Jewish tradition for renewal. It's the Jewish New Year and mm-hmm. Yom Kippur, and this is the time when we look back and look ahead and renew ourselves and whatever needs to be changed and enlivened. So, and you chose that completely without.
I listened to your show Tuesday a week ago, and it felt so befitting that we would be doing this interview during that time
well,
in your church year.
Right.
You know, we all relate to these traditions in our life in meaningful ways. Well, some of us do anyway.
And then, okay. And I asked you to also read the last poem in the book, and I am very happy to see the photograph that you have with that.
Yeah, the photo is of the beautiful lights that come from Hai'ai that are up there in the building. And this was actually a photograph not done by Justin. He and I worked together for a couple of
Justin
hours.
Justin
Grafton. Pointing at what I wanted and how I wanted it. They had this on file. And I don't think you could better it, considering the meaning of the poem, that there are the lights, and then there is the reflection, that somewhat softer reflection of the lights in the window. I mean, it is perfect.
Meant to be.
It was meant to be.
Beautiful.
And this poem is one of less than a handful of poems that pretty much came to me in the entity of its poem. Some of the other ones are hard work, as most art is, but this one just fell into my lap, more or less. And interestingly enough, it's using rhyme, which I hardly ever use. As a matter of fact, I'm suspicious of rhyme. So, and it is grounded in my singing to people on their deathbed. I did some hospice work and compassionate companion work and on private giving the extreme unction to people from the church, that sort of thing. So I think that can be a bridge from this life to the next. Anyway, there's lots more in here. Just see what you can glean from it.
Let me remind folks, my guest is Karen Temple, and she will be reading her poems from this brand new book, Life Still and Again, tomorrow, 4:30, at the Cancer Center here in Astoria, just west of the hospital.
And it's a real reception with wine and catered food.
Okay.
And the books will be distributed. This is going to be my biggest circulation ever. There are 750 books there.
Wow. So, okay, folks. This is a
big.
Great opportunity. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Transcendent.
Transcendent. Breath-making music, spirit in sound, the dead and the living in unison bound. Voices uplifted, plangently sweet, forgiven and forgiving together shall meet. Parting perception, an echo of song, invisible compass to heavenly throng.
Beautiful. Well, Karen, I'm deeply appreciative, grateful that you are in remission and that you were inspired to write this beautiful book. And it's for those of you who are not familiar with the center, the artwork, in addition to the art of poetry, the art of wood, ceramic, textile, is in this tiny little book, is very, very rich. So.
The irony is that I treated the Cancer Center as an art gallery. You will find that out when you hear the first poem during the reading. I used to go there and take friends there from overseas because it's so beautiful.
And you can see such diverse art there, too.
Yeah, and then
great.
I became a patient.
Yep. And here you are today.
And here I am
looking
today.
Terrific. Thank you so much, Karen Temple.
Thank you.
And this is Carol here with Coast Community Radio. I have one more set of guests, and before that, I wanted to play for you a piece by Curtis Salgado. He with guest Ellen Hagar, or Hagar. Mm-hmm, Hagar, you remember her? But this is Ellen. We'll be playing Saturday night at the Kenna Beach Chamber as part of the music festival. But this particular song goes out to all of our dog friends and past, present, and future. And also, let me tell you that Wednesday at 3 p.m., Astoria Library gives the opportunity for people to read to a therapy dog.
Wish I could read the minds of women. Wish I had gills for swimming. Wish I had movie star looks. I wish I knew every trick in the book. I'd like to feel first love again and be 20 years younger. But the greatest wish I want to come true, I want my dog to live longer. Wish I was the king of rock and roll. Wish I was cool and in the know. And I wish I'd rope blowing in the wind. I'd like to see my late mother again. I'd like to stop poverty, save this world from hunger. But the greatest wish, oh, I want to come through. I want my dog to live longer. I want my dog to live longer. 'Cause when he goes, I'll be blue. And if I had the power, oh, I'd have him live as long as me and you. 'Cause God's got a reason for everything. And in the Lord I trust. But this ain't right. God needs to see the light. 'Cause dogs don't live long enough. He cheers me up, oh, when I'm sad. He's the best friend I've ever had. And I don't care where his nose has been. I let him lick my face again and again. His love is unconditional. And that just makes me stronger. So the greatest wish I want to come true. I want my dog to live longer. Oh, the greatest wish I want to come true. I want my dog to live longer.
Oh, yes. Don't we all? Don't we all have that experience, those of us who are lovers of dogs? And if you're not, don't tell me. Okay. But that was Curtis Elgato, and he will be playing tomorrow night at the Kenna Beach Chamber as part of the Fire Mountain Music Festival. It's going on for 10 days, actually. It started yesterday. Wow, very impressive. Well, also very impressive is this group of people here in the room with me. And actually, it's kind of funny because I talked about my last two guests, Marco and Karen, as wearing many hats. And with the two artists I have here right now, I had to actually write down all these details to keep it straight because they're both, I don't know if they're on a roll or whether this is the story of their lives, but my art-making guests here today are Drea Frost. Hi, Drea.
Hello. Can you hear me?
What? Oh, she's wrecking the joint. Hey, okay. Be nice now. Gentle. Use this
Hold
part.
That way. There you
no.
Go.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Are we good? Can you hear me?
Yeah. She's been here many times, too. We have no virgins in the room. Well, I don't think so. Rhonda, you've been here before.
I've been here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought so. Don't worry, you're safe. So Drea Frost is here, and also Jeremy Furnish. Hi, Jeremy.
Hello.
Okay. And they are the two working artists, and the reason they're here involves Rhonda Green, who is my third guest. Hi, Rhonda.
Hi.
And Rhonda is actually, I love her title. Of course, you've been here before because I loved your title last time, right?
Right.
I said. Her official title, am I right, is Waste Zero Specialist.
Yes.
And if you don't know anything else about her, you might wonder, what the heck are we talking about? But Rhonda is with Recology, and I'm going to let her tell you what that means, because it's kind of a fancy word, Recology Western Oregon. Together, these three people have been part of CORE, which is, and this I didn't even write down, so it's, what's the C stand for?
Coastal
mm-hmm. Oregon Arts Residency. And this is a collaboration of the Astoria Visual Arts and Recology Western Oregon to basically, in a nutshell, create art from garbage. Would that be kind
that
of...
Would be
that would
exactly
be
exactly
accurate?
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Okay.
It.
Okay. And I have not seen... the work that you two are doing.
I guess you'll have to come to the show.
I will. The show, let's tell people right up front, the show is October 12th, which is Art Walk. Where is the art going to be?
It'll be at the Anita Building in Astoria.
Okay.
On Commercial.
Because I'm thinking it's not going to fit in the AVA Gallery, and you aren't going to get people going out to Warrenton
right.
during Astoria Art Walk. So Anita Gallery, mm-hmm. I think it's something like 1312 Commercial. Mm-hmm. Is that right? It's a great big space, and it will show off what they've been doing. So let me tell you a little bit about these people and why I said that about things happening in their lives. Drea, I've known for a while because we were on the Arts Council together. It feels like a lifetime ago, but it was only a couple of years, two, yeah. 3 years ago. And she has, she'll be in a show. I think you're in a show right now, aren't you?
I am.
At, is it River?
River Sea Gallery. Yeah.
Three Journeys.
I didn't mean to interrupt you. The Three Journeys is at the Royal Nebuchadnezzar Gallery.
Okay, I mushed it all together. Okay. Right. You're going to get in a show right now at River Sea Gallery, which is on Commercial in Astoria. But Clatsop College Royal Nebuchadnezzar Gallery, the opening isn't until October 17th, but the show is up.
It is, yeah.
Okay, and that's three artists, three journeys, and we'll get back to that. Jeremy, whom I thought I didn't know.
But you do.
But I do. Because this world is so wonderfully small, is a professional sculptor. And by the way, Drea, do you still live in Cannon Beach?
I do, yeah.
Whew, okay. And Jeremy is at the other end. He isn't even in this county.
No, Columbia County.
But he's just over the line.
Just on the edge.
Clatskanie. And he's a professional sculptor and the founder of Clatskanie Artists Network, and just received, in addition to this CORE residency, which has been going on since June 1st, is mm-hmm. that
yeah. correct?
Yeah. You got a fantastic award to do the Regatta piece.
Yeah, the Regatta Monument.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a big deal for me.
That's pretty exciting.
It is. Yeah. It's real exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I have seen pictures of the projection of that. So we'll see how it comes out.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, but you have time, right?
Yeah, I got until almost a year.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, breathe.
breathe. So let me go back to Rhonda. Maybe you can tell us what this whole concept was, whose idea it was, and how it came together.
It started in 1990 down in San Francisco. That was the first artist in residence program. And it has just kind of grown since then. This is our fourth year here.
Is it happening in other places?
It does. It happens in Portland. There's one in Portland. There's one in Seattle, the one that I have, and then the one in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
So slowly they're, you know, gaining popularity more and more of the Recology places are doing this. But it's, you know, it's a great program. They get the 4 months to dig around in the trash of Clatsop County and create art.
Folks, remember what you've thrown away. It might show up.
Right. It just might.
In the art show on October 12th. Recology, is that a new name or has that been around for a while?
It's been around for a while. It is basically a play on words of recycling and ecology.
I did not know that. Okay, that makes a little bit of sense, but it's a nice word.
Right.
Nicer than dump.
Right.
Or garbage.
Right.
So, although I like garbage too. So 4 months to trip around. What is that like for you? I mean, is that the way you've worked in your art all your life?
Well, no. I would say I haven't been digging in the trash for the rest of my practice, but it's been really interesting because, I mean, you couldn't even imagine the types of materials you end up finding. So there's parts of you that are really, really excited because you can see potential in a lot of material. And then there's an other half of you that's just really horrified a little bit. Like, and not just because it's garbage, but I think the amount of the waste that people are creating, it becomes really, you know, apparent when you're watching it. Yeah, and it kind of makes you think a lot about the environment and the planet and stuff.
And how much waste there is.
The amounts of
And it is. The amounts are really, really crazy. And I mean, it is a recycling center, so a lot of that stuff is recycled and everything, but there's still quite a bit of material that...
Give us a for instance, and Jeremy, you can pitch in at any time.
For instance, like what
stuff.
Well, I mean, there was one day when I can say for sure that we could have filled an entire house like with furniture and
free dump day.
Yeah, with all kinds of stuff that was still very usable, like furniture and kids' toys and books and
it's
records.
Like new
and
things in boxes.
New things. Stuff in. And it was just really shocking.
With price tags and,
it was really shocking because you're like, oh my gosh, there's like thrift stores. Like you could throw a rock and hit a thrift store from here, and I couldn't understand.
Yeah. Nearly new bicycles and lawnmowers.
Oh, no.
So
if you weren't there, Rhonda, what happens to all that stuff?
It would, if it was trash. So there are a couple different places up at the transfer station to deposit your items. There's the recycle center that takes your commingled recycle, which would be your paper and plastic and aluminum. We have a glass bunker up there, a cardboard bunker. So anything like that is a recyclable commodity would go to Portland and be marketed that way. But the other items, things like the textiles, the clothing, those kinds of things would actually end up in the landfill, sadly.
And what about the stuff that they just mentioned? Like you could furnish a house with stuff like
that would end up in the landfill.
You can't pull it out and holy cow.
Or we can.
That's right.
Yeah, so we did.
And that's the amazing part of this concept of CORE is that two people at a time, or one or three, are able to go through this. And the rest of us will have the opportunity to see what you've done with it.
Yeah.
And then hopefully give more thought to... This is mind-boggling. I'm sitting here. I don't even know what to say.
Yeah.
How could people... But
It's tough to watch, really.
Yeah.
You can't help but to try to imagine ways to solve a the bigger problem.
Right.
It is
just a little glimpse into like the bigger problem, I think, with consumerism and people's like the way that they waste things. And it's sort of like it directed the art for me. Like there was no way I couldn't have it be kind of incorporated into the to the work I was making and like the meaning behind it. Mm-hmm. You know, you couldn't. There was no way to separate the material and where it came from my feelings towards like the environment and the impact that has on it.
I work the same way. I think that our work will really complement each other because I think we really had the same type of feeling and impact over the whole experience. So it'll reflect well, I believe.
Well, you know, the show that's over at the AVA Gallery right now of the three artists with recycled material, but it's very different because each one of them worked separately. Then they came together and they talked and they compared and all of that. But I can barely imagine the two of you in these big piles of stuff and finding things that should never, ever, ever be there when they could be used.
Yeah.
So just to throw this out there, the two of them diverted 3.12 tons of debris that would have otherwise gone to the landfill.
Wait. That can't be in the art, though.
Well,
not all of it, but there's...
I mean, Jeremy works in metal. Right. Too. So
oh,
I mean,
that's heavy.
So, that's heavy.
Metal and glass, and then I like to have a lot of material to look at while I make my work. So I'll have leftover.
So Jeremy, are you using your own equipment, like welding and stuff like that?
Yeah, I'm doing my work at the home studio and using everything available. So it's this isn't a new thing for me. I've been diving in dumpsters for almost 20 years. I started out, my first show was a found object show after diving through a Foss Maritime bin in St. John's. So that was probably 18, 19 years ago, maybe.
So would you say that where you're working now is a larger?
I think it's about 2,000 square feet, or my studio. It's a whole barn. It's a horse barn that I built with the help of my family. And so it's dedicated. It's metal and glass and pottery. And
so maybe you can have a note up at the art show telling people to divert stuff from the dump.
Yeah, I've been trying to figure out how to continue that.
Seriously.
Because it's a really good cause and it's a great educational experience, and it, you know, carry it on somehow. I'm looking at that.
Me too. It's been amazing, and I can't honestly, and I know I speak for Jeremy when I say this too, that I can't say enough nice things about Recology and the people that work there Rhonda and everyone, because they've been such a huge help in and facilitating this. I mean, without them this wouldn't even be happening.
Incredible experience.
And now Jeremy has been doing this work on a large basis. Drea, not so much. Have you learned?
Well, I mean, I when he was just saying that, I was thinking back to the solo show I had at Cannon Beach Gallery a few years ago, and I collected found materials, man-made like waste off of the beaches. Mm-hmm. I was collecting plastics and like, you know, that sort of thing. It just felt different.
Well, it is in that, because nowadays trash art has become quite popular. You were ahead of the time, but it's become quite popular, and that's good.
Yeah.
You know, there's some gorgeous stuff, but that's different from going into this designated space, designated for people to put their garbage, and you look at it and say, this isn't garbage.
Yeah.
This is a child's toy. This is a refrigerator.
I mean, some of it was definitely 100% garbage.
Yes.
And it smelled like that.
I'm sure.
I mean, there was the portions where there were usable items, like that was not the whole thing. So just to add to the picture and maybe, you know, we don't, I know we don't have smell-o-vision for the radio. But. Right.
And I'm glad for it. Thank you. This station has had its share.
Yes.
Okay, so folks, Anita's 1312 commercial, it will be part of Art Walk. That is a second Saturday in Astoria. And by the way, speaking of Art Walk, tomorrow night is Art Walk in Gearhart, 2 to 5, and Seaside, 5 to 7. So be sure to check that out. But Drea Frost and Jeremy Furnish will be showing their work at Anita's. I did want to give a minute for Drea to tell us about the show that's coming up at the Royal Nebraska Gallery at Clatsop College, Three Artists, Three Journeys, who Tom Jensen and Beth Kehoe.
Yeah.
And I think they're both from Seattle.
They are from the Seattle area. I know that Tom Jensen, I think he worked 30 years for Boeing doing illustrative work.
Mm-hmm.
So that was his background, and he's self-taught, and the work that he does now is kind of a lot of figurative work, and he works with materials in really interesting ways. And then Beth Kehoe, she used to be a ceramicist, mm-hmm. I think, for most of her life, and then more recently shifted into painting and primarily figure painting. She does these life-size figure pieces that are kind of dreamlike.
And what is your work?
So I did figure work for this show too, because it sort of was connected to the Au Naturel.
Oh yes,
from last year. Right. And the work I did was a lot of surfer related images. I know I just kind of decided I was doing what I wanted to do. So like surf related figurative mm-hmm. work related to the ocean.
That's great. I love it. Well, apropos of that, I think I guess I'm going to have to play a little music by Rhythm Method.
Can I just
please
thank Astoria, the AVA, also for Recology? And I would like to shout out to Astoria Coffee House and Bistro for generously feeding us and, you know, keeping us highly caffeinated to make the work for Recology. Thank you so much to them.
Thanks, Jimbo.
And of always. And thanks to AVA and Recology Western Oregon for working together to use our fabulous local artists and have them broaden their scope and basically teach the rest of us what's going on. So thank you all for being here. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Carol.
Looking forward to the show. And in the background is a piece called Surf. It's called Surf, and it's by Rhythm Method. And that's because that's that group of drummers, all those guys from, Gary Selig and Anthony Stopiello, Mark and Mickey Wagner, McGinnis, Mackey. They are going to be playing on Saturday at the Lower Nehalem Community Trust Autumn Fest from 12 to 4. And let me tell you what else is going on. I'm going to bring them down because when I have music in my ears, I start dancing and I can't talk straight. So let me tell you what else is going on in the minute and a half I have. This is, we've been talking about today is Friday, October 4th. Tonight is a contra dance at the that's the kind of music you're going to hear tonight at the Astoria Arts and Movement Center in, and of course that's in the Oddfellow Building. Check it out, 7 o'clock with the Clatsop County String Band. Esther Street Opry Company, topsy-turvy tonight and tomorrow night. The Coaster Theater, the Savannah Sipping Society, Fire Mountain Music Festival you've been hearing about, Peninsula Arts Association is having their fall art show. It's from 10 to 4, so it's done today. It's tomorrow and Sunday as well. And then a Saturday, Papa has from 5 to 8, Dukes of Swing in Chinook, Lower Nehalem Community Trust, you just heard, Rhythm Method, and Peer Pressure Productions, 11 a.m., Tour and Talk on the Odd Fellows. Folks, don't forget to vote. If you don't know what I'm talking about, give me a call. Karen Temple, Poetry, 4:30 to 6:30 at CMH Cancer Center. And that's tomorrow. Garibaldi Maritime Museum has Rebecca Harrison. Labor Temple, Valhalla. Blessing of the Animals is tomorrow. Cannon Beach Community Church at 7 o'clock. It's part of their Steinway.